Okay, we're beginning here 8 lines down on the top of Chof Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara brings a bright Tanya. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Kashem Shetruma Chazaka LeKehuna, just like Truma, or the eating of Truma, says something about a Kohen and his Kehuna, Kach Meister Rishon Chazaka LeKehuna. So too, the eating of Meister Rishon establishes an individual as a Kohen. V'cholek B'Beitin Eina Chazaka. And someone who divides up in Beitin does not have a chazaka. So over here, the bright, according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, has three principles. The first principle is obviously that Shuma is a chazaka lekuna. The second principle is that Meiser Rishon is a chazaka lekuna. And the third principle, which we'll get to later in today's daf, which is a cholek b'beit din, eina chazaka. Gemarich says, Meiser Rishon delevihu. How can you say that Meiser Rishon is a chazaka or establishes that this individual is eating the Meiser Rishon as a Kohen if Meiser Rishon goes to the Levi? Truma goes to the Kohen. Meiser Rishon goes to the Levi, and then the Trumat Maser, the Levi takes off from the Meiser Rishon, goes to the Kohen. But the Ikar, Meiser Rishon, belongs to the Levi. It says, K'Rav Elazar ben Azarya, Detanya, this is a machloka that we saw back in Yevamot, of Pevav, Truma the Kohen, Meiser Rishon the Levi, Divi Rabbi Akiva. Akiva believes that Truma goes to the Kohen, as we said, and Meiser Rishon goes to the Levi. Rabbi Elazar ben Azarya, Meiser Rishon, af the Kohen. Meiser Rishon can also go to the Kohen. Most Rishonim believe that this machloket is a machloket min adin d'oraita, as we discussed in the Gemara in Yevamot, that the Kohanim are called Levi'im in a number of places. That the Kohanim are not a separate entity, but they're a subset of Shevet Levi, and therefore the Kohanim have entitlement to the Meiser Rishon along with the Levi'im, because a Kohen is just an enhanced Levi. He's a Levi plus. He's not a Kohen and not a Levi, as opposed to Rabbi Akiva, who believes that a Kohen is a Kohen and not a Levi, and therefore he's not entitled to the Meiser Rishon. So now, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azarya, the Meiser Rishon can be given to the Kohen as well. The Gemara is suggesting that that is the source of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's opinion, that a Kohen who's eating Meiser Rishon can establish as a Kohen. Gemara says, Yimor dam Rabbi Elazar ben Azarya af the Kohen. He says, even a Kohen can eat it, the Kohen velo Levi mi'amar. Since when does he says exclusively Kohenim can eat it, and not Levi'im? Meaning that you can't prove anything from someone eating Meiser Rishon, because even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azarya, who entitles the Kohanim to eat it, doesn't mean that Levi'im don't eat it. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azarya, both Levi'im and Kohanim can eat Meiser Rishon. So if someone's eating Meiser Rishon, they might be a Levi or a Kohen, but doesn't prove that they're one or the other, doesn't prove that they're a Kohen. According to Rabbi Akiva, if they're eating Meiser Rishon, they're definitely a Levi, not a Kohen. Now, whether you can establish anything according to Rabbi Akiva is questionable, because it's a machloket with regards to Meiser Rishon. We saw back again in the Gemara in Yevamot as to whether Meiser Rishon is Asur Lezarim or not Asur Lezarim. According to Rabbanon, Meiser Rishon is Mutar Lezarim, and therefore even if Yisrael can be eating a Meiser Rishon, he can't be taking it, he can't be the one who receives it in the Goren, but he can be someone who is consuming it, and therefore the eating of Meiser Rishon would not be any evidence, although the distribution of Meiser Rishon might be evidence. Then Rabbi Meir believes that it's Asur Lezarim, therefore the eating of Meiser Rishon could be evidence of the fact that, at least according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azarya, it's either Levi or Kohen, according to Rabbi Akiva, that this individual is a Levi. But since we paskin that Meiser Rishon is Mutar Lezarim, and over here Rabbi Elazar ben Azarya only establishes the fact that it can be eaten by a Kohen and a Levi, not a Kohen exclusively, then how can you prove anything from the fact that this individual is consuming Meiser Rishon? Mar says, in there is a situation or circumstance where that's the case, the Boter Kansinu Ezra. It's after the Knas, after the fine or penalty that Ezra placed upon the Levim. So this is a reference to the Gemara again in Yevamot that we saw in Daf Pei Vav, where the Gemara says that when Ezra went to take a census of all the individuals that came up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael with the Shivat Zion, he didn't find any Levim amongst those individuals that he was taking. And because of that, he would penalize the Levim who didn't come along. How the Knas worked also is a machloket in Rishonim and Achronim. The Ritva suggests that it's me koach hefker beit din hefker, that Ezra had the power to disenfranchise the Levim from their Meiser Rishon and give it to the Kohanim. Whereas in the Achronim, like the Minchat Chinuch, he suggests that it's because in Bayit Sheni, the Chiyuv Trumot and Masrot were only midirabanan, and therefore the Chachamim can change the distribution of the Meiser Rishon, since it's only in a Chiyuv midirabanan. Now, it's very hard to know where this kanas actually is established. The Gemara in Yevamot says that it's the case. The Gemara in Chulin says it. Our Gemara here says that there was a kanas, but it's very hard to find it in the Psukim. And Tosfot over here says, Lo Ashrechan Behedje Bekra de Kansino. There's no explicit Pasuk in the Ketuvim that establishes this fact. He says maybe there are hints at it from a Pasuk in Nehemiah. It says, Vayakoin Ben Aron Im HaLeviim Be'aser HaLeviim, that the Kohanim went along with the Leviim with the distribution of the Maaser. So it sounds like the Kohanim were involved with it, although again, it sounds like the Leviim were also there, and therefore it does not sound like it was exclusively given to the Kohanim. And Tosafot points that out, that that's a difficulty with this source. It's a good source, possibly for Rabbi Akiva, we'll see in a second, but not necessarily for Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah. Rashi in Chulin brings the same pasuk as the possible source for this knas. Miri answers that question by suggesting that the Kohanim were nice to the Leviim, that even though the Kohanim were the entitled party exclusively, nevertheless they allowed the Leviim to come and take a portion as well, and that's the explanation of that pasuk in Nehemiah. Over here in Tosafot, Benu Yosef brings it from the pasuk in Malachi that we read for Shabbat HaGadol, which is, Heviu et kol ha-maser el Beit HaOtzar. And there he says that the Beit HaOtzar was a lishka that Ezra established for the Trumat HaKohanim, as it says in Nehemiah Yud. And so therefore, since he says to bring the maser to the Beit HaOtzar, which is a location that was given to the Kohanim, so that would suggest that the maser was given to the Kohanim and not to the Leviim. And this is especially true according to the Gemara Megillah that Malachi was Ezra. They were the same individual. And as we'll see in a second, the possibility that this was given out to the Aniim, Tosafot suggests that the Kohanim were usually the ones who were the Aniim because they were Asuk in Melechet Shamayim. They didn't have karka to support themselves, and therefore they were dependent on these handouts in order to live, and therefore they would be primary Aniim that showed up. So even if you believe that the Maaser Rishon was given to the Aniim, it was generally given to Aniyei Kohanim because the Kohanim were, they as a class, were impoverished, and therefore they were the most likely to be the ones collecting from the Maaser Rishon. The Rabbeinu Elchanan questions this proof of Rabbeinu Yosef because he says at the end of Ezra, it sounds like they're giving out manot of Maaser to the Leviim. And therefore there's really no source in the Psukim in Ezra and Nehemiah for this kenas, even though it might be hinted to. It might work very well according to the Rambam, who believes that it was only a temporary kenas, that the kenas only applied to the door of Ezra, although maybe it was a little broader than that because we see its application in the Gemara to areas greater than just the time of Ezra, but maybe all of Bayit Sheni or something along those lines, whereby the kenas applied because the Leviim didn't come in with Shivat Zion. But later on, Leviim should not be penalized because they do show up or they do come to Eretz Yisrael. Why should they be penalized for something that was done by generations before? And therefore, the Rambam believes it was a temporary gezeirah that eventually reversed. And in that way, you can solve some of the problems or the stirot, both in the Psukim and Ezra, as well as to some of the halachic tensions that come up with regards to whether Leviim actually got the Maaser Rishon or the entitlement went to the Kohanim. Now, Tosafot points out that after the Knas, each individual took their position to the next step, which is until now, Rabbi Akiva believed that Maaser Rishon went exclusively to the Levi, and Truma went to the Kohanim. After the Knas, Rabbi Akiva believes that the Maaser Rishon not only goes to Levi, but also to the Kohanim, and therefore he now enters the Kohanim into the possibility of taking Maaser Rishon. But Ezra ben Azariah, who believed already the Kohanim had entitlement to the Maaser Rishon, says that the Knas of Ezra made it that the Kohanim exclusively were entitled, and not the Leviim. Tosafot then brings an alternative girsa that suggests that even Rabbi Akiva agrees after the Knas, only the Kohanim got it, not Leviim. Tosafot rejects that position because he says that there's so many shitot throughout Shas that indicate Maaser Rishon goes to Levi, and we need a Tana to be the author of that position. And the only one who could be author of that position is if it's Rabbi Akiva, who believes even after the Knas, there was still a chance for Leviim to take it. It was not exclusively Leviim, but also Kohanim. If you think Rabbi Akiva also thinks they were precluded after that time, then we don't have a Tano, who's the author of all these positions throughout Shas. That's one thing that Tosafot points out. In addition, he says, Zemachloket in the Gemara in Yevamot, as to whether after the Knas of Ezra, did the Maaser Rishon go to the Aniim, or did it go to the Kohanim? And again, they must be arguing in Rabbi Akiva's position, because according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, it went exclusively to the Kohanim, and it went to Kohanim irrespective of their wealth, whether they were Ashirim or Aniim. So if Rabbi Akiva was to agree with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah at this point after the Knas, to say that it was exclusively to the Kohanim, how does the opinion that it went, the Knas went to the Aniim, possibly be a Chazok or the Kuhana, if it's in that position of Rabbi Akiva? And therefore, the Tosafot concludes, the Levim were not made equal to Yisrael and Kohanim, that the people who were rich could not take it. The Levim were entitled to take it, whether they were wealthy or not wealthy. The Aniim that were permitted were either the Ani Kohanim, if you believe Maaser Rishon is Asur Lezarim, if you believe Maaser Rishon is Mutar Lezarim, then even Ani Yisrael. And therefore, going to Rabbi Akiva, the Levim still maintain a status which is unique, either because if you believe that it went to the Kohanim and not to the Levim, it means Af Le Kohanim, also the Kohanim, but the Levim was still the main individuals. Or if you believe that Rabbi Akiva's Shita is that it went to the Aniim, then it goes to the Aniyei Kohanim or Aniyei Yisrael, depending on what you think about Maaser Rishon and Lezarim. But as far as Levim are concerned, they still had the ability to take it, whether they were poor or rich. And therefore, Tosafot concludes that Rabbi Akiva does not agree in the end to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's position that it was exclusively given to the Kohanim and not to Levim. And therefore, the Maskana, the Gemara, maintains that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is following the position of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and that the reason that it is a chazaka for Kohanim is because it became exclusively the Kohanim according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah after the Knas of Ezra. According to those that believe that Rabbi Akiva also thinks that, then the Gemara has reversed their position and now is saying that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar can fit Bater Kansino Ezra both according to Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. But as we saw, the Baalei Tosafot reject that view. V'dilma ikru v'yavilei. So maybe it would happen and a Levi would come by and get it. Why a Levi would get it after this Knas, whereby the Kohanim were entitled to it and not the Levim, is according to the Meiri because there were no Kohanim in the city and they wanted to give the Maaser Rishon to the appropriate person. So the Levi showed up, so they gave it to the Levi even after the Knas. According to the Rambam, it would be possibly after the time that the Knas had expired. So Amar Rav Chisda, Chabamai Askinan, what's the scenario over here whereby we know that we're dealing with a Kohen? Kohan Mukzatlan Bavua Dahayg the Kohenu. We know that this individual's father is a Kohen. Well, if his father's a Kohen, then he's certainly a Kohen. Why do we have to worry about anything? But Nafak Alei Kala, the Ben Gushal Ben Chalutzahu. But there was a rumor circulating that his mother was a Grusha or a Chalutza, who is restricted to a Kohen. And if the child is born from such a marriage or wedlock, he becomes a Chalau and is Mufka Mikuhuna, and he therefore is not a Kohen. And so there are rumors circulating that this individual is not a Kohen because of the questions with regards to his mother. So then they gave him Masrot in the Beit Agranot. He has a Chazoka, and he's been receiving the Masrot from the farmers, the local farmers. So Levi, the Lav Levi, who? He's certainly not a Levi, because his father is a Kohen, so he's certainly not a Levi. Ben Grusha Ben Chalutzahu. So what's the problem? He might be a Kohen Chalau, which would not entitle him to Truma or Maser. So lo mi boy, the mandamar Maaser Rishon Asur Lezarim, delo yavu lei, according to the one who says that Maaser Rishon is restricted from individuals who are not Shevet Levi or Kohanim, then certainly if we're giving it to him, he's clearly not a Chalal, he's clearly not Yisrael, and he's clearly not a Levi, so the only choice left is that he's a Kohen. Even according to the one who says that Maaser Rishon can be consumed by Zarim, not only by a Levi and a Kohen, that's if they give it to them, or if you feed them it, they're allowed to consume it. But nobody distributes Maaser Rishon to Israel, except according to Shita Rabbi Akiva, according to those that believe that Rabbi Akiva thinks that the Knas granted these rights to the Aniim. But nevertheless, we are saying now that this is following the Shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, the fact that it's being distributed to this individual, whose father is a Kohen, means that he is, number one, definitely not a Levi. Number two is, he's not an Yisrael, because we don't distribute it to Yisrael, even though he might be permitted to eat it. And he possibly is a Ben Grusha ben Chalutza, but then why are they giving him Maaser Rishon as a Kohen, if he's a Ben Grusha v'Chalutza? So that means that they must know, or they must be certain that he is a proper Kohen, and that's why they're distributing it to him. And that's why this establishes the fact that this individual is a Kohen. So again, it's Rabbi Shimon Elazar, according to the Shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, after the Knas of Ezra, and therefore it was exclusively given to Kohanim. Maybe a Levi shows up, so you can't prove anything that it's absolutely a Kohen, our circumstance is unique, which is that we know he's a Kohen because his father is a Kohen. But there are questions that have arisen with regards to his Yichus, and therefore this puts to bed those questions. When he has a chazaka of receiving Maaser Rishon in the Beit HaGranot, that's an indication that he's clearly a Kohen, and he can't be a Levi that they're giving it to him, because a Kohen doesn't have a child who's a Levi. If it's a Halal, he's an equivalent to Yisrael. And he can't be Yisrael because we don't distribute Maaser Rishon, even if it's Mutar Lezarim, to Yisrael. Now the Gemara goes to the last line of the Braita. V'cholek b'beit din enu chazaka. One gets a distribution in Beit Din, it's not a chazaka. If he gets a distribution through Beit Din, who is the authority, if that's not called a chazaka, how can he establish a chazaka anywhere? Doesn't make sense that an act of Beit Din is not establishing a chazaka. So Amar Rav Sheshet, Hachi Kamar, Hacholek Shuma V'Nichsei Aviv, Im Echav B'Beit Din, someone who divides up his father's possessions, and in that allocation of the possessions, they got Shuma, each of the individuals, because his father was a Kohen, Inu Chazaka. That doesn't prove that this individual is a Kohen. Pshita, Gemara says, that's pretty straightforward. Just because he got an allocation of the distribution of the inheritance, doesn't mean he's a Kohen. They're dividing up the inheritance. Everybody gets an equal distribution of the inheritance. The inheritance includes Truma. Then he also gets Truma. But that doesn't prove that he's a Kohen. He'll have to liquidate it. He'll have to sell it and monetize it. But he still doesn't prove that he's a Kohen. Gemara says, Ma'adutema, Mitahanach la'achila, Hainami la'achila. Because they gave to the other brothers Truma, and the intent of the other brothers is to eat the Truma because it's more valuable for them to eat it than it is to sell it. Then when they gave it to him, they also intended for him to eat it, and therefore it should establish a chazaka. Kamash malon, that we don't say that, we say hanach la'achila, hai lizvune, that they are getting it, or getting the allocation for eating, and he's getting it to sell. And therefore the fact that he got allocated truma is not an indication that he is a kohen. Now Rashi says that this case here by the Beit Din is a continuation of the previous case in the Braita, and therefore there's the same questions that have arisen about this person's yichus. And that's what Rashi says here, v'nichse aviv, ena chazaka lashbit me'alav kol hayotze alimo shigusha v'hu chalal. It's not enough to quiet down the rumors that have been persisting that his mother is someone who is psulat kohuna, and he is a chalal, and therefore he's not entitled. And that's what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying, according to Rashi, that this chalukah in Beit Din is not sufficient. Without the rumor, the chalukah would have been sufficient. But now with a rumor, it is not sufficient evidence to offset the rumor that's there. The Ritva says it doesn't have to be a case of a rumor, but the questions of his lineage could arise if he has children that are present here that we know are Kohanim, and then he went overseas and comes back with a child, and we don't know who the mother of that child is. Gemara in Kedushin says he has to bring evidence to the fact that he's a Kohen, and maybe that's the story over here, and that's why the Chalukah B'Beit Din does not offset, or it's not enough evidence to override the questions about his mother. So it doesn't have to be a rumor. It might even be the fact that we just don't know who his mother is, and therefore his father has to bring evidence. Otherwise, he's not assumed to be a kosher Kohen. So the Gemara now goes back to our Mishnah and points out that the latter two positions in the Mishnah seem to be identical. Because Amar Rabbi Lazar, Mataiva, Makom Sheish Oririm. When is it not enough for an Eid Echad to put a person in a position to have Yichus the Kuna? That is if there's questions surrounding his yichus. Avamakom shein orim, when there are no questions surrounding his yichus, malim lekuna p'eid echad, then a single eid is sufficient. And then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer, mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Askan, malim lekuna p'eid echad. He also says the same thing, that an eid echad is sufficient. And now the Gemara questions, what's the difference between Rabbi Eliezer's position and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel's position? And that's what it says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, I knew Rabbi Eliezer. Shimon Gamliel is saying the same thing as Rabbi Eliezer. Now what are you going to suggest? That if one individual brought questions with regards to this individual's lineage, it's not sufficient to have an offsetting aid to make him kasher. Rabbi Shimon says that questions can only be brought against this individual's lineage or yichus if there are two aidim. A single aid is not sufficient. Didn't Rabbi Yochanan already establish divrei hakol in Arar Pachot Mishnayim, that there's no questions about lineage, but less than two Edim. Now this could be a generic statement of Rabbi Yochanan with regards to Arar in general, although if you look in the Balei HaTosafot, he points out over here, near the read, Rabbi Yochanan Ikar Dvarav Mishnatenu. Rabbi Yochanan's statement was not a generic or broad statement, but rather was a statement about our Mishnah in particular. And therefore, anytime it's quoted in Shas about Rabbi Yochanan, the source is from our Mishnah, and the context is our Mishnah, which is the order of the Yuchus HaKohanim. And over there, or with regards to that, Rabbi Yochanan says, everybody agrees that the Einarar Pachot Mishnayim, that no less than two individuals can cast aspersions on the Yuchus of an individual. So it's not that Rabbi Yochanan is saying there's no Tano who believes that there's Arar less than two, but he's saying in our Mishnah, there's no Tano who believes that an Arar can be brought up with less than two individuals. If that's the case, then that can't be the machloka between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, because they both have to believe, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that it was two Edim that brought up the questions, and therefore we require two Edim to offset it. But if it's only an Arar of one aid, then everyone agrees, and Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel both say that one aid is enough to offset those issues. Elohachav mayaskinan, the muchzak lan bavua, the high kohen hu. That we know that this individual's father was a kohen. So if his father's a kohen, he should be a kohen as well. Benavakalei kala, and now we have rumors circulating the Ben Gusha u Ben Chalutzahu, that this individual is a child born from his father, the Kohen, married to a woman who is an illicit relationship or wedlock for a Kohen, which is a Gusha or Chalutza. And if that's the case, he's a Chalau, and he doesn't have a din of a Kohen. And therefore, Beitin, based on these rumors, Achtine, they deposed him. They removed him from his position as a Kohen. Vatayed Echad, then a single aid came, Vamar Yadanabe to Kohenu. And he says, I know for certain that this person is a Kohen, that he's Kasher, that he's not a Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza, and he's not a Chalau. Vaskine. And then they replaced him, they put him back in his position as a Kohen, because now he has evidence of the fact that he is a Kohen, and the single aid is sufficient to offset the rumor, as Rashi says over here, the Makum Kol, Habichad Mehemin, that when you have a rumor, a single aid is sufficient to offset the rumor. So according to Rashi, this is simply a rumor. An Eid Echad has the power to override the rumor, and that's why they reinstated him as a Kohen. And even though the rumors were not substantiated, because of the Malish Asubi Yuchsin, they put him on a forced leave of absence until they can have an aid that comes to substantiate the fact that he is a Kohen. On the other hand, the Ritva believes that the Kol here is not simply a rumor, but a rumor that was checked out by Beit Din, and the rumor seems to have some substance to it, and that's why they deposed him. And even despite that fact, an Eid Echad is strong enough now to come, together with the Chazoka that his father is a Kohen, to reinstate him. Vatu Beitrei, and then another set of two Eidim come, Bamrei Ben Gusha Ben Chalutzahu, and they testify, this is a full-fledged testimony, that he is a Chalal, because his mother was a Grusha or Chalutza, now they deposed him once again. And now a second aid comes, Amar Yadanabe the Kohenu. I know for certain that he is a Kohen. And everybody agrees that when you have two single aidim that come, individually we can bring them together to make them into a kat aidim of two. So what you had here was rumor, aid echad saying kasher, two aidim saying pasul, and then Eid Echad same kasher. So now we'll join the Eid Echad together with the other Eid Echad, and I have two Eidim same kasher, two Eidim saying pasul. V'hocha v'meichesh l'ziluta d'beidina kamiflegei. And the machloket here is whether we worry about this casting aspersions on the Maaseh Beit Din. This Beit Din already reversed itself two times. It deposed the Kohen or put him on a leave of absence twice, and then reinstated him a second time. And therefore, Tanakama Savar, Tanakama here, can be referenced to Rabbi Eliezer. There was an alternate girsa in the Gemara that said that Tanakama Hainu Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel has the same position as the Tanakama. And why it's not referencing to Rabbi Eliezer is because Rabbi Eliezer argues on the Tanakama with regards to Gomlin, collusion. Where the Tanakama says we don't worry about collusion with the Neid Echad. Eliezer says we do. But then when Rabbi Shimon Gamliel comes and says we believe in Neid Echad in all cases, that would suggest that he believes even in a place of collusion, and that means he's the same as the Tanakama. And then the whole Gemara is trying to distinguish between the Tanakama of the Mishnah and Rabbi Shimon. Whereas the way Rashi reads it in the Girsa, and the way that we're reading it is that the question is, what's the difference between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who both believe in Eid Echad? What's the difference between them? And the Gemara is now suggesting the question as to whether we worry about the standing of the Beit Din. Tanakama, meaning Rabbi Eliezer, believes, Kevin Dachtine lo maskinen lei. According to Rashi, since he was deposed twice, we don't put him back or reinstate him a second time, because that would cast aspersions on the Beit Din. and chashinim lezilut of the Beit Dinah, because we worry about the standing of the Beit Din. And obviously Rashi's position is premised on the fact that why wasn't there zilut of the Beit Din in the first round when we deposed him and then reinstated him? Because of the rumor. What you have to say then is that one time is not sufficient to create a zilut of the Beit Din. It's only if you have a repeat scenario where they do the same thing over again that it becomes a ziluta. So Tosfos points out that in many places we are choshesh the zilut of the Beit Din, even in one scenario where they reverse their position, and not where there is a repeat of a reversal of their position. And therefore he believes that even one time is sufficient grounds to consider something a zilut of the Beit Din. And why over here do we have to wait to the second round before we worry about zilut of the Beit Din? Is because he thinks that zilut of the Beit Din only applies where you did something based on edut, where you did something based on testimony. If you deposed him based on testimony and then you reinstate him based on testimony, it looks like the Beit Din can't make up their mind or can't deal with the issue. If you deposed him because of a rumor and then reinstated him, that's not considered to be an act of Beit Din that is questionable because of the fact that it was done by a rumor and not by edut, which means that we knew in the first place that there were some questions about the evidence, and Beit Din just as a protective measure deposed him. But when it's edut and it's a proper, full-fledged removal of him from his position to reinstate him, even in one time would be problematic, but that's only problematic in the second scenario, the second round here, because that was done by edut, as opposed to the first round, which was done by a rumor. We're the ones who deposed him. We're the ones who are going to reinstate him. There's no ziluta debate in here because we are following protocol and we're learning new information. That new information we have to act on. Now, why we act on that information is somewhat questionable because you still have trey neged trey, which is that you have two edim saying that he is kasher, two edim saying that he is pasul. Why do we then establish the fact that he is kasher according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel? So Rashi says, uki trey lahadei trey. The two sets of edim offset each other. And we go back to his original chazaka that he is a kohen. What do you mean he's a kohen? Because his father was a kohen. And therefore we established that he is a kohen. But didn't we have a rumor that came about that cast aspersions on the fact that he was a kohen? According to Rashi, it was not a substantiated rumor. And since it wasn't a substantiated rumor, that rumor does not have the power to take away from his original chazaka that he is a kohen. And now that we have two edim offsetting each other, they get wiped out of the picture and we go back to his original chazaka. And according to Rashi, the reason why we even listened to the rumor in the first place, which was the male v'yuchsin. But now that we have edim, solid edim, that indicate that he was kasher, even though there are also edim that say he's pasol, now we know the source of those rumors, since it's now been clarified by edim that he's kasher. And those that are being posel him probably were the source of the rumors, then we can say that the rumor is not meaningful anymore and can reinstate him to his chazaka of being a kohen. As the Rabbeinu Yonah suggests in the Gemara in Bava Batra, that the reason why the trey or trey over here are wiped out and the chazaka goes to keep him as a kohen is because the rumor is the equivalent of another aid that is showing up to testify against him. It doesn't matter whether you have two aidim or three aidim testifying against him. If you have another two aidim on the other side, they're offsetting it, then those aidim are considered a stalemate or a chasha, and therefore there's a trey or trey, or it's trey or tlat. Two against three or two against two still doesn't matter. They are offsetting edut, and therefore he goes back to chazaka, and the rumor is not meaningful. That all works well according to Rashi, who said that the kol was not a substantiated kol. According to other Rishonim, who say that the kol that caused us to depose him in the first place was something that was checked out by Beit Din and substantiated, then why isn't the first kol significant? And number two is when you have two edim offsetting two edim, how does he go back to his original chazaka that he is kasher, if we have this rumor circulating that was substantiated, that did cast aspersions on this kohen? So the Rosh suggests something that we just noted before, which is that the only time a rumor causes us to question the legitimacy of an individual is when we don't know the source of the rumor and we can't offset the rumor. But if we now know the source of the rumor and we have offsetting evidence against it, then we don't worry about the kol anymore. And that's the case here. We now know the source of the rumor is from those edim that were saying he was pasul, and we have offsetting edim that say that he is kasher. And given that, the remaining information is that this person has chazaka as a kohen, and therefore we put him on his chazaka that he was a kasher kohen. So the Baalei Tosafot brings other opinions. He brings from the Rav Yitzchak Bar Baruch the possibility that it depends on which edim came first. if the Edim who came first were the ones that cast aspersions on his legitimacy, then they ruin his chazaka, and then you can't say go back to the original chazaka. That whenever the two Edim show up, the two Edim establish the chazaka. So if the first two Edim to show up say he's kasher, they establish the chazaka. Or if the first two Edim show up and say pasul, they establish the chazaka. Tosafot rejects this for a number of reasons, including our Gemara here. For the first two Edim to show up, say he is pasul. Even though there was an Ed Echad that said he was kasher beforehand, that's not sufficient grounds to establish a chazaka, because he was just coming to offset the rumor. And therefore the two Edim would set the standard for what the chazaka is, and that cannot be the explanation. And therefore the Re says that Treu Trei Sfeika Derabbanan Hu. So when you have offsetting Edim, it leaves the individual in a Sfeik Midrabbanan. Umidrabbanan Hechmiru Delo Mekmunin Echazaka. And the Rabbanan were Machmir with regards to Yichus of Kohanim, that they would not put him back on his chazaka. So then why over here do we give him the cheskat kashrut and say that he's okay, we try to reinstate him a second time? That is hacha, the truma derabbanan. Here we're dealing with truma that's only truma derabbanan, and therefore they were mekiel in truma derabbanan. So with regards to yuchsin, because it's edin derabbanan, when you have two offsetting edim, that we say that it's a stalemate, and we go to chumra, that's a din derabbanan. That din derabbanan they applied only with yichus of kohanim, but when it came to truma derabbanan, there they were making and allowed the Kohanim to eat it when we had this situation of Treu Trei. And that's why in this situation, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel would allow it, even though you're now Treu Trei, and reinstating him to be a Kohen. And because he believes, Lizuta de Beidina lo chashinan. Matkiv la Ravashi, Yachi afelu Treu Trei nami. Why do you have to have a case set up of 1 aid, 2 aidim, and 1 aid? If you're telling me that we allow the Beitin to reinstate him a second time, why do you need it to be this 1-1-1? You could be 2-2, and you would have the same outcome. You'd have offsetting Edim. And what do you do once you have offsetting Edim? And therefore, why is Rabbi Eliezer's opinion over here that we're worried about Chashin and Zuluta debate when you have 1 aid, 2 aidim, and 1 aid? His position to be is true, even when you have 2 and 2 aidim, you should worry about Ziluta debate. Seems to favor Tosafot's explanation, the other Rishonim, that even with one issue, you can have a problem with Ziluta debate. Because according to Rashi, you have to explain that you had 1 aid that was machshir, and they reinstated him, 2 aidim that said he's pasul, and then 2 aidim that say that he's kasher. Not just 1 aid that's mitzarev to the first aid, but rather 2 aidim should have the same problem of ziluta. And why is Rabbi Eliezer only saying it in a case where there's an aid echad? So Elo Amar Ravashi, the machloket here between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is mitzarfin leidut kamiflegei. It's a question of whether they can be joined together, the 2 single aidim, into a single eidut. Uplokta dehani tanaye. And it's similar to another machloket tanaim that we see in other places in Shas. The first machloket is not relevant to our sugya. The second one is, the Tanya ain't any tan mitzterefet at yushneim keachad. The Tanakamu believes that the two witnesses have to witness the event together in order to be a kat edim, to consider 2 edim. They witness it, each one individually, and then they come together later. They're not considered to be a kat edim according to the Tanakama. Vishon ben karcho omer afilu bezeh hazeh. Even if one witnessed it and another one witnessed it, each of those witnesses independently can then join together because they witnessed the same event. For instance, Rashi says over here, if one witnessed the loan taking place and the other witness has the borrower admitting that he borrowed money from the lender, then those 2 edim can come together to say the same thing, which is this borrower borrowed money from this lender. And even though they witnessed different events, they could be mitzaref, whereas according to the Tanakhama, they'd have to see the same event or same evidence in order to be edim together. Now, this second part of the Braita is relevant to our Gemara here. Tanakhama believes that they have to testify together, meaning one after the next, in Beit in order to be considered a kat edim, a single unit of edim. Whereas Rabbi Natan Omer, Shomim Dvarav Shel Zeh Ayom, Shevel Chaviro LaMachar, Shomim Dvarav, that one of them can come and give his testimony today, the other one can come tomorrow, and we'll put them together to be a kat edim. And that'll be the machloki between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Not like we said before, that everybody holds mitzarfin le'idut, but rather that is the machloki between them, as to whether you are mitzarif le'idut. We don't worry about ziluta le'beitin. And Rabbi Lezer believes, like the Tanakama, that you can't be mitzarif the 2 edim together. And therefore, when you had a rumor, a single aid machshir, 2 edim posel, and then a single aid comes back in his machshir, that single aid can't be put together with the original single aid. Therefore now you have psulim, and he was not allowed to be reinstated, and that's why he says that the aid echad can't override the RR that took place. And that's why he says, ematai mekom sheish orim, aval makom shein orim, alin nekuna al pi aid echad. But in a place where there are orim, then you have a problem because Eid Echad can't be mitzarif to the first Eid Echad, and therefore the two Eidim carry the day. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, on the other hand, in the name of Rabbi Shimon, believes that those two Eidim can be mitzarif together. There's no problem of Ziluta the Beit Din. The first Eid that came offset the rumor. The two Eidim that came along then cast aspersion on this Kohen. The second single Eid that came to be Machshirim will be joined together like Rabbi Notan with the first Eid that came. And now you have 2 versus 2. And when you have 2 versus 2, we just went through the scenario. We put the Kohen back with his Chazakah. And because of that, he is considered to be a Kohen Kasher. Whether that's because, according to Rashi, that the original rumor was not a well-established rumor, and therefore the one Eid can offset it. And once he does that, his Chazakah returns to being a solid Kohen. And therefore, when you have 2 versus 2, Kohen goes back to his Chazakah being Kasher. Or according to the Bayit Tosafot, because it's a Sfeika Durabonon, and they were Meiko by Truma Durabonon. Whether because, like the Rosh, we found the source of the rumors now, and therefore we can wipe out the rumors, and therefore it's only 2 against 2, and the Kohen goes back to his original Chazakah. Or, according to the Rabbeinu Yonah, the rumor just acts as another Eid, and therefore you have 3 versus 2, which is the same as 2 versus 2. And therefore he goes back to the original Chazakah that deems him a Kohen, because his father is a Kohen. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on Chav Vav Amud Bet.